Hello, this is Rosina Montana, and I host Various Voices, alternate Thursday afternoons at 2, right here on WIOX Roxbury Community Radio. We're live and local in New York's Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM, MTC Cable Channel 20, and WIOXradio.org.
WIOX is supported by Frank Lumia Real Estate Plus, with more than 30 years sharing the four-season beauty of the Catskill Mountains, bringing buyers and sellers together, providing customized updates on land, home, and commercial properties with offices in Margaretville and Delhi. Frank Lumia Real Estate Plus. There's magic in our mountains. 607-746-6029 or franklumiarealestate.com. WIOX is supported by Qualteri's Garden Center on Route 30 in Roxbury, specializing in landscape design and installation, annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and houseplants, as well as a wide selection of pottery. Qualteri's Garden Center, serving the community for 22 years, open daily from 8 to 5. Learn more at 607-326-4282.
Okay, you are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, and everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can also get WIOX on any smart device through the TuneIn or FM radio apps. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Pretty good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
You know, not bad.
I finally saw some bears. It took me till 2 days ago to see my first bear of the year, which is completely odd for me anyway. Yeah. I've usually seen a half a dozen or so by now. So I saw the first one 2 nights ago, and it wasn't alone. I saw it had a sow with 2 cubs, and then later that evening I saw another. So I saw 4 on my first event.
No kidding.
So I caught back up.
You caught back up. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of bear sightings this year, man.
That's what I've heard, and everybody's telling me about them, and I say, well, you know what, I haven't seen very many.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on the other side of the mountain there in Ulster County, and sometimes you see some more on this side of the mountain, sometimes more on the other, but yeah, tons of bears. Tons of them. What are you going to do with them? You going to go hunting this year?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I think it's more of a spur of the moment thing. I don't specifically target bears ever.
Why not?
You know, I don't know. I really never just gotten into it. I'm always thinking about doing other things, and
yeah,
if I'm deer hunting and have an opportunity, then I'll decide at that moment.
Well, I miss eating bear. I got a bear a few years ago. Again, I was not targeting it directly either. It was muzzleloading season, which I didn't realize is kind of rare because they're kind of hibernating by then already.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And very good eating meat, man. You know, old timers in West Shokan told me that years ago and didn't know what to think and got one, and it was delicious. And the fat's really good.
Julia tells me we're almost out of bear fat, so.
You guys still have some?
Not from a friend.
My God.
Yeah, so we need some bear fat, she says, so it's time, I guess.
Hey, it makes good pies, you know, good crust. But, yeah, there's some bears hanging around me. We'll see if they're there in a few weeks. Bear season's coming up, September.
Yeah, I think it's the Saturday after Labor Day, something like that. Second week in September, it's bear season, so.
Yeah, it's usually right after Olive Day or the day of, which is that second Saturday or so in September.
Yeah. It doesn't last long. It's just a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then it closes down again until bow season opens.
No kidding. Well, how about that? Hey, found some golden chanterelles today.
Did you?
I did. Yeah.
Where? Well, what kind of forest type were they in?
You know, mature forest, lots of older sugar maples, basswood, stuff like that.
Yeah. I walked in the woods today with a CFA member, a landowner, and he was into his mushrooms. I you know, it's something that if you're not into it, you don't really realize what's around you so much, but he was into it, so he's constantly taking picture after picture. And I wasn't even seeing these mushrooms until he was pointing out to me, because I was looking up. I was into his forest stand. He had some nice growing red maple, actually.
Yeah.
And so I was looking up. He was looking down. Then once he pointed it out, I started paying attention to down, because I realized we transitioned into more of a sugar maple type. And then I was looking for ginseng.
Ginseng.
We were in the right elevation and the right forest type in the right area. So
that's funny.
Nothing.
Yeah, I didn't see the mushrooms either. I was looking up, and the guy I was hiking with, he saw it. And I said, you know, that's nothing. And I looked that closer. I was like, oh, that's golden chanterelle. How about that? That's my favorite one. Yep, just fry them up with butter and eggs, or just alone. Really doesn't matter.
Nice.
It's damn good. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, mushrooms is, to me, the edible ones, is about not only identifying them correctly, but getting them at the right timing. You know, if they're past, I don't even bother. A little past, you know, get them while they're nice and fresh.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I've debated on some chicken in the woods before. Eh. It's kind of at the point.
Yeah. A lot of insects in there, too.
Yeah, that's the one thing. That's what made me realize. I took it home in a paper bag, and I got home and covered in insects. Like, you know what? Maybe I won't.
Maybe you're not that hungry.
Maybe I really don't want this.
Right. That's what I say to people. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Are you, like, starving? Like, what?
Right.
Just throw it. Don't eat it. I don't know. Anyway, today's kind of a controversial topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Norway maple, friend or foe?
Well,
that's what the show's about. You make up your own mind. To me, I got my mind made up.
You know? I think they're a nice looking tree.
I think it depends. Isn't that such a cop out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't want angry emails tomorrow, I guess.
No, it depends, you know. But mostly it's a good tree, and to me. But to not only me or other people, but New York State, this is on the naughty list, man. This is definitely faux.
Yeah, so. To a lot of people.
It's okay.
You know, it all depends on placement. You know, corn in a soybean field is considered a weed, so.
What is now?
Corn, if it's growing in a soybean field,
yeah,
considered a weed. It's hard to separate the seeds. They're similar size. So, I'm sure you've driven past soybean fields and seen a corn stalk growing before.
Probably, I don't know.
It's out of place.
I don't
When
pay
something's
attention.
Out of place, then it's a problem now, right?
Yeah, we used to call that weeds.
Exactly, weeds.
But now, you know, it's not. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time New York State and I have disagreed. That's fine. Agree to disagree.
But all right.
They don't see it that way. Any case. So let's introduce Norway maple, right? So the first time I really started to give thought to this tree was when a prospective Catskill Forest Association member called from Swan Lake in Sullivan County and said, you got to come over here and take a look at my trees. They are dying. It was a camp over there in Swan Lake, and I said, well, first, you know, you got to become a member of the Catskill Forest Association, then I'll come over and take a look. He said, okay. So I went over there, and there's a bunch of Norway maples, and they're planted in this camp, and they offer really nice shade, And you can see where the kids and adults are constantly seeking refuge from the hot sun underneath them.
Sure.
So at first I was like, I don't know, maybe it's compaction from, you know, traffic from human beings, you know, just compacting the soil.
Lawnmower every week, things like that.
But that's not it. I mean, Norway maple can grow in under asphalt, you know, in really compacted soils in urban areas, which is why it does so well. So that was not it. I didn't think that was it. It wasn't the weed whacker. It wasn't that. And I'm looking all around the tree. Why is this tree dying? Here's a tree that's like, it was growing really well for probably 45 plus years. Just growing like a champ. You know, full crown, deep crown, dense. Doing its job as a shade tree. And just dead 1 year. Norway maple, in some cases, more so than other trees, will get these girdling roots.
Oh, from and being potted?
It will girdle itself. Yeah, they take it out of the pot or whatever, and instead of stretching the roots, you know, they put it right in the ground, and eventually those encircling roots that follow the outside of the pot over time chokes the tree off and girdles it.
Wow.
And he didn't want to hear that. That was bad news. So he's not a member anymore. Wow. I don't blame him, you know? I mean, no one likes to hear that bad of news.
Yeah, and when your prized tree is can't be fixed.
Right. I mean, they got to be taken down. It's thousands of dollars, and I had no solution other than your tree's going to die, sir. So that was it. But, okay, I wasn't totally sure. I was pretty sure it was encircling roots. So I called Cornell, Department of Natural Resources, and asked a person there who I knew well. I said, hey, man, do you know... Doctor, do you know of anything attacking Norway maple, you know, in the insect realm? And he's like, no, but I wish there was, and I hope they all die. And I said, that's not very nice. But so. He was, yeah, I didn't say that. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. So he hates it. He hates Norway maple. And I was like, this hatred is interesting to me because I don't have this hatred.
Did you ask him why? I mean, what's his perspective?
No, I don't think he was going to be open to anything at that point. I think he was... That was it, man. Okay. You know? Like, what are you going to do?
Well, I guess I have a similar... I guess not similar story, but when I first started paying attention to Norway maple...
Yeah.
There was a tree. It's a very nice tree, growing vigorously. And a board member of CFA, he and I were looking at it. We both looked at it, and it was a young one, so you couldn't really tell by the bark so much. When they're older, you could really distinguish their bark from sugar maple.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
They look like ash.
Yeah, they do look like ash. So it was too young for that. So we're looking at the other characteristics, longer petioles, a little bit different shaped leaf, and it was close. Like, it could go either way on the argument scale, but we decided that it definitely was a Norway. And he said, all right, I'm cutting it down. I said, well, what if it was a sugar maple? He goes, I would have left it. He was he's a maple guy, right? He appreciates sugar maple more. So the tree was out of place anyway.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, but had it have been a sugar maple, he would have left it out of place, and I've been okay with it. So then I got, that was when I started to think, well, what's wrong with Norway maple?
There's a time and place, and there's a reason. If it's competing with sugar maple, the sugar content's not as high as sugar maple, and maybe, okay.
Can you tap it?
You can tap any. Yeah, so this is Acer platanoides. You can tap any maple tree. It doesn't matter if it's a mountain maple or a striped maple, sugar red, Norway, or even silver maple. They can all be tapped. I was looking at one study online before the show, and one guy was saying he was surprised at how high the sugar contents were for even box elder, which is actually a maple. Even though it looks like an ash. Ash leaf maple is another common name. And Norway. But still, you know, they're not as high. So.
Even lower than red maple?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But, okay, so that's time and place. But, you know, there is a place to plant these trees. And they've been around a long time. John Bartram, famous botanist in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, introduced Norway maple in 1756, John.
Okay.
All right, so this is not a new thing. Okay. Widely planted in the 50s and 60s. Why do you think?
Replacing other trees.
Yeah, man, the Dutch elm disease was killing the American elm. And this is a great street tree. Elm, the way they grow is kind of like a vase, so it's kind of good. It's nice where you can put you can tuck in the power lines underneath them, telephone lines.
Okay.
And they provide shade. Well, these are dying en masse, and they're like, what do we replace this with? And Norway maple foots the bill. You know, it can take air pollution. It can take compacted soil, you know. So they
grow fast.
Yeah, they grow fast.
I've been watching one grow over a few years now.
Right. So it can handle a variety of soil conditions and zones, meaning cold and hot. Here's a tree that can grow down in Florida, zone 10, right?
Wow.
Up to zone whatever, zone really cold, up in Tromsø, Norway. It's within the Arctic Circle.
Wow.
It's pretty cold.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
It could take the northeast summertime humidity.
Right. So, okay. You know, obviously it's from Norway, and it grows in its home range from Norway east into Western Asia. So it's a pretty widely dispersed tree. The bark, as you were saying before, when the leaves are off, a lot of people, including myself, I have to really look at it sometimes. It looks like a white ash. It looks just like an ash tree.
Yeah.
It's got those furrowed ridges, you know. It's gray. Yeah,
a little bit lighter bark than what a sugar maple is. Sugar maple is more of a whitish, gray bark.
Yeah. It's got opposite twig pattern, just like an ash or a maple, obviously. All maple and ash trees have opposite twig pattern. So you have to kind of walk up to it and look at its buds, really. But it's a tree that grows very similar to sugar maple, 60 to 80 feet tall. Lives typically 100 to 150 years, upwards of 250 years old. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is Norway maple. Friend or foe?
The Linda was mine till the time that I found her, holding Jim, loving him. Then Sue came along, loved me strong, that's what I thought. Me and Sue, but that too. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me a girl to stay, won't play games behind me. But I'll be what I am, a solitary man, solitary man. I've had it to heal, being well, love's a small word, part-time thing, paper ring. I know it's been done, having one girl who loves you, right or wrong, we go strong.
Okay, solitary man. I might be solitary after singing the praises of Norway maple tonight, and that's tonight's topic, is Norway maple, friend or foe. It's a non-native, some would call it invasive tree that is in New York State. And how do you differentiate this tree from sugar maple, John?
So typically the petiole or the stem of that leaf is much longer. It's very exaggerated. Everything about this tree is exaggerated to me when I look at it. It's a palmated leaf, but it kind of resembles more of a sycamore leaf than it does a sugar maple. I think it's a blend between the two. Again, it's an exaggerated, exaggerated leaf. Like Ryan said before, the bark pattern looks a lot more like ash than it does a maple.
One of the easiest ways to differentiate it is just to break off a petiole. You see milky white sap at the bottom. It has to be a Norway maple.
That's one thing I didn't know.
You didn't know that?
Nope.
That's the easiest, man. If you're unsure, you don't have to look at anything else. You break off a petiole, and at the end of the stalk, the leaf stalk, you see milky white sap, Norway maple.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, you know, on younger trees, like a seedling, that might be easier. The buds are rounder, and sugar maples are usually browner and pointier. Red maple are red. So that's an easier one. Oh, and in the fall, a lot of times Norway maple will succumb to tar spot. You'll see these little circular spots. It does not harm the tree, but yeah.
Well, by the fall, I mean any leaf has done most of its photosynthesizing for the whole year at that point.
Yeah.
So if something happens to it, then it's not a huge deal.
No, not a big deal. Just a aesthetic thing. So the other thing is the samaras, which are the seeds, the helicopter seeds of most maples, right?
Yeah.
The samaras, which are a double samara, are flattened, more flattened than sugar maple, and they directly oppose each other in a 180-degree angle.
Yeah.
That I didn't know. After reading, now I know.
And sugar maples not?
No. They're not directly opposed.
They're slightly bent.
Correct.
Okay. Good to know.
That's correct. It's affirmative. So, all right. The sugar content of Norway is not as high. Do they tap them in Norway? I've never heard of that. I don't think they tap anywhere except for in North America. I think we're the only people tapping stuff for sugar, man. What's going on?
I don't know.
They not have the temperatures there or something? Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I don't know. I heard that Norway's climate is very similar to ours.
What's going on?
Good day. Well, there we go. CFA company picnic is going to be in Norway next year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. All right. So, So how does this tree make the naughty list? All right, this tree has definitely made the naughty list. It is now considered... Is the Office of Invasive Species still a real thing at the DEC?
You asked me recently. A year ago, they were.
Yeah.
I was looking on their website a year ago, and they had a webpage still. So, since then, I have no idea. I don't pay attention to those things.
I'm not sure. I think I could swear I'm not sure that they got absorbed by something else. But anyway, there's the people there who think about invasive species at the New York State DEC, and this is considered now, in quotes, regulated. It's a regulated plant species. What does that mean? Some are prohibited. Okay, prohibited is like you can not only plant it, but you can't even tend it if it's on your property.
Yeah, if you see it, it's your duty to kill it.
Yeah. Something like that. But regulated is a little different as far as I know. Regulated plants can still be sold at nurseries. So Norway maple can still be sold as far as I know. But it must be branded with a scarlet letter around its little branches that say invasive and harmful to the environment.
What, like a tag?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So forever you have to maintain the tag on it or something?
The nursery has to have that to say this is an invasive species,
but not the land
environment. No, I don't think it's for the life of the tree.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it'd be a little crazy.
People wouldn't enforce that.
But. Here's the thing, though, and this should make some of you skeptical, especially you foresters who love tree species and wood and stuff like that. Black locust is also on the list of regulated.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with black locust. I've seen it take over pastures when it's first growing, but give it another few decades, and it's also dying. It doesn't take shade.
Well, this is the problem that makes me crazy, is like, they're ignoring succession.
Right.
Right? I mean, here's a tree that is dead after the forest succeeds to a mature, older forest. It gets shaded out. Give it some time. Don't be, you know? I don't know.
Quick to conclusion. You know, the only time I've personally, we were talking about this earlier, I've personally never seen Norway maple regenerating in the interior of the forest. Forest edges on occasion, power line right of ways is where I would go first to look for it.
Right.
Or edges of the road nearest town, because that's where the seed source is.
Yeah.
But I have personally never found Norway maple regenerating inside the forest.
No, I haven't either.
So to call it a problem, I don't know, maybe there's potential for concern, but I don't know.
Except for one spot, and I'll get to that. I have seen it regenerate in one area, and where the forest was completely Norway maple. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is Norway maple, friend or foe. So, why is it invasive? It's a heavy cedar. It can tolerate a wide variety of sites. Like sugar maple, it's pretty finicky. It likes only well-drained soils, which is pretty much most of the Catskills. So we have a lot of sugar maple. Red maple is more abundant throughout New York State because it, too, can handle both wet and dry sites. Norway can handle just about anything.
All right.
And it can really handle compacted urban sites where growing trees is a chore. Right? I mean, there's just, like, another tree that would be similar to Norway maple in its tolerance level would be pin oak. Pin oak can grow anywhere, man.
Yeah.
Heavy clay, asphalt, doesn't matter.
You know, where I've noticed pin oak the most is concert venues, like Bethel Woods.
Yep.
And Saratoga, their parking lots are full of that. And you know how many thousands of people walk through there weekly.
Absolutely.
Very compacted.
It can take it just fine. So, people complain of its invasiveness because it casts deep shade and it actually kills turf grass underneath it.
Okay.
And spring ephemerals. According to the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, the deep shade kills native spring ephemeral flowers. To which I would say, this tree is planted for its shade, though. So, yeah, maybe in the woods, that's not good. If you want grass under it, probably the wrong tree. But if you want shade, there's one right outside the studio here in Roxbury, WIOX Roxbury. It's growing next to a sidewalk, doing just great. You know, whoever planted that probably wanted shade. No? I don't know.
It's the same era. I mean, it might have replaced an element.
Yeah. It does heave sidewalks. But, you know, we're asking trees to do a lot in urban areas. I mean, if roots can't go down much, they're going to stay at the surface. And if there's a sidewalk there, well, there's other trees that do the same thing. I mean, maybe not as bad, but they do it, you know. So, observations of invasive nature. You were saying you've never seen it regenerate. I've only seen it regenerate once. I went for a walk just above the Strand, the Rondout Strand in Kingston, Ulster County, and the forest there, if you want to call it a forest, it's just a little area, was completely Norway maple. You know, trees ranging from 16 inches in diameter to, you know, seedlings. So
I mean, is there a timber value to this?
As far as I know, no. So I don't think it's very good wood. It's not that hard from what I looked up. You know, right. Less than red maple.
Less.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but should we be surprised that it's in Kingston? Why should we not be surprised?
I mean, it's got seed sources all over the place.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that when we return. And if you're just tuning in, it's From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is Norway maple, friend or foe.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground.
I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
WIOX is supported by Town Tinker Tube Rental. For 40 years, offering whitewater tubing adventures on the Esopus Creek in Phoenicia, New York. Open 7 days a week. More information at towntinker.com.
All right, you're just tuning in. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. And tonight's topic is Norway maple. Friend or foe?
Depends.
It depends. So, all right. Well, I don't think we should be too surprised that Norway maple has become abundant in some areas. Whenever I see it, it's usually near cities or villages or towns, town centers. And as we were saying before, in the 1950s and 60s, elm trees start to die, and Norway maple is planted heavily. And it continues to be planted heavily. So, you know, if someone sows corn, or plants corn, rather, we shouldn't be surprised that corn grows afterwards.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, pretty much. Well, I got more to say.
So, I mean, what's the solution? You know, cut every tree down?
I don't know. I mean, you know, even in the Roxbury where we are, the village of Margaville, I mean, there's tons of Norway maple planted all over the place.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Every town's got it. I don't know. You see other trees in towns that, like silver maple. Someone asked me about silver maple today. You see silver maple planted in towns a lot. It grows very fast, mostly why. Gets to be very big and shading again. They do get issues, though. But you don't see a lot of silver maple out in the wild, out
Never.
In the forest. Can't think of any in the Catskills, to be honest.
No, in the Adirondacks, it grows, I think, native.
Swampy sites.
Yeah.
But not here.
Nope.
I don't know.
I have seen Japanese maple regenerating in the village of Ellenville, Ulster County.
No way.
I have.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it regenerating. Tons of little seedlings coming up.
That one's worth money.
I know. But I don't know. I think what's going on here with Norway maple is that, and this happens with a lot of things, is that I think we might be blaming symptoms instead of causes. And like I said, John Bartram, who, botanist, planted this tree in 1756, you know, it wasn't really a problem until more recent. And I think this is a symptom of maybe a deer browse thing, mixed in with other things as well, which I might get into. But, you know, the deer, it has an advantage in that it seems like it's less on the menu than sugar maple and red maple. I don't think they eat it as much. Could be wrong. It doesn't seem like that to me, though.
Right. So you're saying the deer are just eating everything else?
Yeah, I do. And that mixed in with, you know, heavy on the seed source. And, you know, there you go.
Gives the competitive edge. I mean, yeah, if people are doing studies on spring ephemerals, I guess it has to be, I got to read the study. I have no idea what they did, but it has to be done inside of a fence. Because there's not, I mean, spring ephemerals are decreasing no matter where you're going to study them. It doesn't matter if it's going to be underneath a Norway maple stand or a sugar maple stand or anything else.
Yeah, we have areas in the Catskill Mountains, you know, in the Forest Preserve, far removed from human population centers, far removed from Norway maple plantings and the presence of Norway maple that are being annihilated in the categories of spring ephemerals and wildflowers.
Yeah, I mean, it's less of a shade issue than it is a deer browse issue. Not to say it's not too shaded elsewhere, but I mean, we haven't been doing a lot for forest management in a lot of these areas to create that shade, but...
Yeah, and by the way, you know, a lot of those areas are lacking sugar maple regeneration, too.
Right.
Deer have eaten those.
And sugar maple can regenerate under sugar maple just fine.
Right.
When given the chance.
I mean, they're eating ginseng and everything else. Tom Rowinski at the 2015, I think that was, Growing Deer Debate Conference.
Yep.
He's a botanist with the USDA Forest Service. And, you know, he gets people calling him and asking him what to do with invasive species. And... for the most part, his recommendation is to build a deer fence. And when you remove or reduce deer browse pressure and give the native plants an equal playing field, you know, there's not going to be a problem. The natives are going to win.
Yeah, he has a great story about stilt grass. Exactly like that. They tried killing it with chemically or tried hand pulling it. The stilt grass came back. They put a fence around it. And within 3 years, stilt grass was still present. But it was being outcompeted by native vegetation.
Right. So, but, you know, it makes sense. I don't blame people. Like, it makes sense. You see stilt grass growing, you think stilt grass is the enemy. But, again, I think that's a symptom, not the cause.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, you build a fence and, bam, stilt grass goes away. But here's the thing. We focus in on Japanese stilt grass, but what about the invasive natives? Because one thing that... all these plants that have become abundant in the last few years shares that deer don't like to eat them.
Right.
And some of those have green cards, and some of them don't.
Right. Hayson and fern is a prime example. You can go into almost any red maple stand in the Catskill Mountains, red maple and beech, you're going to find hayson and fern carpeting.
Or its brother there, New York fern, which is highly native.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's growing everywhere. So... I don't know. You know, I think maybe need to look at the ecology of these plants instead of maybe their origin. But if you're just tuning in, listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., tonight's topic is Norway maple, friend or foe. So, one of the reasons why, at least I believe that it's become abundant, is that it was planted. The second thing is deer. It's low on the menu preference of the white-tailed deer. You know, as are other native and non-native plants. And here's the other thing. It doesn't have to do so much with Norway maple, but with a lot of invasive plants is forest succession. You know, this one drives me crazy because right now there's honeysuckle everywhere in Delaware County, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of Delaware County was recently abandoned in the last 30, 40 years from farms, right? The farms were abandoned. Hey, give it some time. That honeysuckle is going to be shaded out. No one complained in Sullivan County when all the blueberry grew because it's native. But a lot of those same blueberries today in that maturing forest are dead.
Yeah, they're getting shaded out.
So give it time. Honeysuckle will be dead too.
Yeah, I walked a stand right here in Roxbury underneath an ash and maple. The honeysuckle's doing great around the edges, but in the interior, they haven't rotted away yet, so you can still see their skeletons, but they're all dead.
Yeah.
They just couldn't take it anymore.
Right. So, you know, I just think it's kind of short-sighted. I mean, give it a little time, forest succession, and autumn olive will eventually give up the ghost and die from shade, and multiflora rose, Japanese barberry.
I think the fear for most people, though, is that it's going to prevent native vegetation from gaining the edge in the first place. So we're going to have this continual cycle of, you know, invasive shrub there.
I guess you got to deal with the deer browse thing first. You know, and that's a way more complicated issue. But again, you know, Japanese barberry, multiflora rose, has been around since the 1700s.
Yeah.
Why were they not a problem before?
Right. And, you know, ash trees specifically can grow up through the shade of an apple tree just fine. We see it all the time, constantly cutting ash out of apple. So why can't they do it underneath honeysuckle?
I think a lot of this stuff has to do with is... the recent phenomenon in the lack of rural land uses, you know, like some absentee land ownership. I mean, hey, if you plant some stuff in your garden, then you're like, I'm not going to weed anything again. What do you think is going to happen?
You won't get a crop.
I mean, you're going to have a lot of weeds growing.
Yeah.
You'll have some native stuff and non-native or rather intended plants and unintended plants. You know, barberry was planted in the 1700s. It wasn't a problem, probably because farmers and other people who own the land were on their landscape controlling things, you know, keeping it at bay, whether it's through fire, cutting, or livestock. You know, man, you should see what goats can do. I mean, I was down in near Middletown, Orange County, a few weeks ago. They're like, we're not concerned at all with that multi-floor roast. I mean, it was a jungle. They're like, we'll just release our goats and it'll be gone. Done. That's just food.
One winter, they'll probably have it all gone.
I couldn't believe it. I took a branch and just lowered it into the enclosure. Those goats came running, man. They were crazy. They were crazy.
Wow.
They're crazy animals.
There you go. Goats are the answer.
So, I mean, I think it's just a lack of husbandry or just being around. You know, you got to be around. There are certain things when you leave them alone, they do well. And there are certain things that don't. You know, so is this mismanagement or is it truly an invasive species? Some are really bad. Like Japanese knotweed's pretty bad.
That's terrible.
You know?
Some of the vines, terrible. Bittersweet.
Emerald ash borer.
That's terrible.
Hemlock woolly adelgid. Yeah, those are pretty bad. But the plants I'm not as concerned about. I'm really not. Not as much anyway. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is Norway maple, friend or foe. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about plant xenophobia. How about that, John?
You make that word up?
I don't think so.
Asks you why, you can tell her that I told you that I'm tired of castles in the air. I've got a dream, I want the world to share, and castle walls just lead me to despair. Hills of forest green where the mountains touch the sky, a dream come true. I live there till I die. I'm asking you to say my last goodbye. The love we knew ain't worth another try. Save me from all the trouble and the pain. I know I'm weak, but I can't face that girl again. If you tell it to her plain, but how can words express the feel of sunlight in the morning in the hills, away from city strife? I need a country woman for my wife. I'm city born, but I love the country life. For I will not be part of her cocktail generation, partner's waltz, devoid of all romance. The music plays, and everyone must dance. I'm bowing out, I need a second chance. In the air, I've got a dream. I want the world to share, and castle walls just lead me to despair.
Love. All right, this is From the Forest. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., tonight's topic is Norway maple, friend or foe? And many of you are probably saying, that's definitely foe, man. Take sugar maple any day. Hey, I love sugar maple, all right? My second daughter's name is Maple, after sugar maple, so I'm all about it. But I think there's a growing trend. This is going to be more of a cultural thing than a scientific thing, but I think there's a growing perspective in the environmentalist community. And John and I, you know, we are in the natural resources field, Catskill Forest Association, when we're not on WIOX Roxbury here on From the Forest. And it's called xenophobia. I don't know if I came up with it or just stole it from someone. I'm pretty sure I stole it from someone, called plant xenophobia. And it's just like some people just want to hate or dislike trees and shrubs that are just not from North America. And it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Black locust, I think, is from down south.
Right.
And now they're like, that's not from the Northeast. Like, come on, man.
It's more broadly just the fear of the unknown. It's something they don't know about.
My God. So, you know, a better term than invasive, and I did steal this for sure, is from Susan Stout, who I respect tremendously. She's very scientific, very objective. She's a forester with the USDA Forest Service, and she used to do the silviculture trainings in western Pennsylvania. Highly knowledgeable. But she would call things interfering species. Because over there, they deal with New York fern and hay-scented fern, both native species that have become very invasive.
Yeah.
But they're native. So what she started calling was interfering, meaning it's interfering with your goals. Some would call these weeds.
Right, I was going to say, we're getting back to weeds now.
Getting back to weeds. So, yeah, interfering species. Does it interfere with your goals? If not, maybe it's fine. So maybe instead of looking at the country of origin of the plant, maybe more holistically, look at the ecology or the goals. Does it interfere with your goals? And if not, maybe it's fine. Hey, Norway maple, when I go to the International Society of Arboriculture meetings, they're not as bad about this. Or at least more people are not. A lot of arborists will say, hey, Norway maple is a good tree still. It's a tree that can handle some really tough areas to grow.
Yeah, I mean, because ISA is mostly dealing with urban, you know, urban trees.
Yeah. You know, Charlie Bloom, who's been on this radio show quite often, he's an arborist, 30 years plus experience from Long Island, still loves Norway maple. Hey, it's a good tree, man.
I can hear him saying that.
Nothing wrong with Norway maple, he says. You know? So I do like that term better. Are there non-native or invasive pests that are bad? Yeah, there's emerald ash borer, there's hemlock woolly adelgid, there's Asian longhorn beetle. But on the plant side of things, I think a lot of these are symptoms and not causes. They're an effect from over deer browse, mismanagement, absentee land ownership, just planting, you know, overplanting, maybe you could say, for lack of a better term. I don't know. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, I want to just go back to my original example. Is that the only one place I can think of it regenerating is along a power line up the side of a hill right outside of a town on the edge of the road. It's like the only place that's getting sunlight that's allowing it to happen. And you know what? The next time the town or the power company comes through and clears their lines, they're going to cut it all down anyway. I can't think of anywhere other than, I guess now that I'm really thinking hard, there's one spot in the Hudson Valley. I cut one down in the interior of the forest while we were doing a habitat management job. I could think of a Norway maple I cut.
Yeah.
It was maybe 12 inches in diameter.
Yeah, I mean, there's Tree of Heaven, you know.
That's
Atlantis.
A bad one, man.
That's a worse one.
That one can outgrow corn in a cornfield planted.
Yeah.
Just from seed. So right. Yeah, there's much worse things to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it becomes an obsession, you know. Here's a great shade tree. It tolerates compacted soil. It really doesn't have any pest issues. It gets a cosmetic tar spot in the fall. Many of you might know Norway maple by the maple tree that has red leaves. That's a King Crimson variety.
Right.
Yeah. There's also another one that has variegated leaves called, fittingly, variegated Norway maple.
Yeah.
And quite often you'll see people plant both right next to each other. There's one right in the village of Margaville, two of them I was taking pictures of, right next to each other growing.
Yeah. When people say red maple, most of them think of the crimson Norway.
Yeah, pretty tree. Really pretty tree. The only thing you got to do with Norway is probably should prune them. A lot of times, like most maples, sugar maple and red maple, they get included bark or co-dominant leaders that end up becoming structurally defective over time. So you need to prune them to a central leader. But if you want a tree that grows in a hurry, is pest-free, can tolerate a wide variety of sites, and can cast shade, it's Norway maple.
Yeah. You know, another Norway tree is Norway spruce. I wonder, keep thinking, is that one next?
Well, now, Norway spruce, it regenerates for sure.
Definitely. That's one that in another decade we could be talking
about. In the Catskills.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what? I've heard professors from Colbiscale saying, you know, it's not a bad thing. It might replace the hemlock along streams for shading on trout.
And again, Norway spruce, like Norway maple, both non-natives, but like natives, like New York fern and beech, share one thing in common.
Deer don't eat them.
The deer don't eat them. The spruce needles are prickly, whereas hemlock are not, and that's why Norway spruce is regenerating in places with horrible, horrendous deer browse like New Paltz and Gardner in the Walk Hill Valley, upwards to Livingston Manor, where you're seeing Norway spruce regenerate. I don't think it's a bad thing.
At least something's growing.
At least something's growing. What do you want? What do you want?
Total failure?
I don't, just, I don't know. So that's all I got, man, a Norway maple. You know, friend or foe, I say it depends, mostly a good tree. If I have the choice, obviously my bias is towards sugar maple, but sugar maple does not handle our urban landscapes nearly as well. Doesn't do terribly, but it doesn't handle compacted soil nearly as well. I mean, how many times you've been to a person's property and they change the grade of the site, or they put in a line, sewer line or something, and the tree just gives out and dies. Norway maple usually doesn't.
So. Yeah, you see it all the time with sugar maple.
Yeah.
They fall apart when they get older.
Right. So, I don't know. A lot of them look great. There's one right out in the front here of the studio. It's looking pretty good. Although one side is rotten. Did you see the other side of it?
No, I didn't walk around it.
Yeah. But I don't know. So, I don't know. Yeah, we got a couple minutes left. Got anything to say there, John?
Not about Norway maple. Did you miss the Catskill Forest Festival last weekend? It was a great show. We'll be obviously hosting it again, the Catskill Forest Association in Margaville. That's what last week's show was about, was to talk about the upcoming event. But that's about all I got about that. Shout out to anyone who volunteered and anyone who wants to volunteer next year. We're always looking for more, but the only way that event works is when people help out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those community events.
Yeah, it's a lot to do, but we'll do it again next year. And we, meaning the Catskill Forest Association, when we're not on From the Forest. But next week or the week after, we're going to try to get, speaking of invasive species, a couple from APHIS, which is what? Animal Plant Health. What is it?
Yeah.
Invasive species?
No, I don't think it's invasive species.
Come on. Well, anyway, they deal with invasive species at the federal level, the USDA. And talk about the emerald ash borer. They're releasing predatory wasps.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, at the fringe areas of where the emerald ash borer is known to be.
And they're non-stinging, so you don't have to worry about that, from what I've heard.
Oh, yeah. No, there's plenty of wasps that don't sting. So that might be cool.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, though, you better inject your ash trees or cut them down, because most of them will die. But hopefully this will buy us time, for those of you who have injected your ash trees to kill the larvae, for when we have predatory wasps maybe take over. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, give it another decade, and maybe you won't have to do that anymore.
So Delaware County is now at the front of feeling the invasion of the emerald ash borer.
You know, sure. I just talked to a gentleman from Walton yesterday in western Delaware County, and he hadn't seen it yet, and he still didn't believe it's coming. I said, man, I don't know how you can be so blinded anymore, because it's in Masonville and Unadilla to your west, and it's in Andes to your right. You know, Delhi and Walton are the last two in the middle of Delaware County that haven't seen the brunt of the front of this thing yet. It was in Andes today and showing a landowner the damage on his trees. Not looking good.
Well, unfortunately, you don't really notice it until it really becomes bad.
Right. And then it's too late. You can't inject and save anymore. It's too bad.
You got to do it prophylactically.
Right.
So that's all the time we have on From the Forest. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. If you missed the show, it was Norway Maple, Friend or Foe. And up next is Mostly British with Rick Neblung. And that's all I got.
All right. Good night, everyone. If anyone's looking to learn how to sharpen their chainsaw, I'm teaching a chainsaw maintenance and sharpening workshop at the Catskill Forest Association in Margaville, New York, this coming Saturday.
Nice. It really stinks cutting trees with a dull saw.
That's right. So we'll learn more about that if you show up.
That's right. Safer, too.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest.
You're listening to WIOX Roxbury, community radio at 91.3 FM and streaming on the web at wioxradio.org.
WIOX is supported by the Catskill Mountain News, delivering news, features, arts, entertainment, and sports weekly since 1863. Available on newsstands by subscription or online at catskillmountainnews.com.